Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield and it's Friday and I'm glad you're with me. Derek Prince is teaching us about walking through the land of God's promises. And sometimes when Derek teaches, he says things that sound so blank, but so blanket, so absolute that I almost have a hard time believing them. And then I realize they're biblical, like that I can have wisdom and guidance for every situation of my life. That's what he's going to say today. And you know what? It's biblical and it's true. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about how to have wisdom and guidance.
In the Old Testament, under a leader named Joshua, God led his people into a promised land. But in the New Testament, under a leader named Jesus, and it's the same name in Hebrew, God leads his people into a land of promises. However, it took Joshua a long while to claim the whole inheritance that God had provided. Halfway through the book of Joshua, after Israel had gained many victories and much territory, God still said to them, "Very much of the land remains to be possessed." The same is true for us as Christians in the New Testament. Very much of the land remains to be possessed. We've entered into only a small part of the provision that God has made for us in his promises. We're going to continue our exploration of this rich and wonderful land that God has provided for us through faith in Jesus Christ, our heavenly Joshua. That is, the land of God's promises. The particular kind of promises that we will look at are those related to various forms of practical wisdom. Let me add that all the wisdom unfolded in the Bible is always practical. I've discovered in my long walk with the Lord that he is a very practical God, and anything that is truly spiritual is also extremely practical. We sometimes talk of people who are so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly use. But such people are not truly spiritual. People who are truly led by the Holy Spirit are always very practical people. In connection with wisdom, the first promise that we look at today is found in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Well, there's a very clear promise of wisdom to any of us in any situation where we see we need it. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. God doesn't find fault with us because we lack wisdom. He knows we lack wisdom, and he's willing to supply that lack, so he doesn't find fault. Wisdom is a major part of our total inheritance in Jesus Christ. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Paul says, "By his doing," that's by God's doing, "you are in Christ Jesus." So our whole inheritance, you see, is really in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So Jesus is our wisdom. All our wisdom is in him. He's also our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Before I came to know Jesus, I was a professor of philosophy at Cambridge University, and I was searching continually for wisdom. But I was living, I would have to say, on the scraps and the garbage heaps of human wisdom. When I came to know Jesus, I was delighted to discover that all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge are in him. And I turned aside from those garbage heaps and from those scrap piles, and I made up my mind that I would seek the wisdom that is in Jesus, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, on the other side, we need to understand that foolishness is not just lack of intelligence. It indicates a heart that is not in tune with God. There's a moral quality to foolishness. In Mark 7, verses 21 through 22, Jesus gives a list of evil things that come out of the unregenerate human heart. He says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness." Notice what bad company foolishness is in. It goes with thefts, murders, adulteries, envy, slander, pride, and many other evil things. It's very interesting that in colloquial Arabic, the opposite to the word for clever is the word lazy. In other words, there's a moral significance to foolishness. It's not just lacking intelligence, but it's lacking character. We've seen that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom by God, and that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus. How do we have access to these treasures? We ask, and how does God supply that which we ask? I believe one main answer is found in John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." Well, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, but the one who makes these treasures available to us, the one who takes of them and discloses them to us, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of the riches of all the kingdom of God. That includes the riches of wisdom and knowledge which are in Christ. So in order to receive the wisdom that God has promised to give us, we have to have a continuing, close, personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who makes those treasures of wisdom and knowledge available to us. We have to walk in harmony and in fellowship with the Spirit of God. We have to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. We have to be sensitive to His gentle nudges and to give heed to the warnings that He gives us. So many times we get into trouble because we pass one of the red lights that the Holy Spirit has put up in our way, and we run into some kind of accident or disaster, not because the wisdom wasn't available to us, but because we didn't heed the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:14, Paul says this, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." The Greek word there used for sons indicates maturity. It's the mark of the mature believer that he'll be continually led by the Holy Spirit, that he'll be sensitive to every little nudge and direction and whisper of the Holy Spirit. And in this way, wisdom is continually made available to us. Now, one other word of guidance on how to receive wisdom. Feed your mind on God's provision for wisdom. That is, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs opens with these statements, that they are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So feed your mind on the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book. Why not read one chapter each day and do that every month for a year? Believe me, at the end of that time, you'll be a lot wiser than you were at the beginning of that year.
I want to ask you if you really believe something that the Bible says. The Bible says that if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, and He will give to you generously without finding fault. You know what? Most of us don't ask because we think that God is finding fault and won't give us what we ask for. It's not true, and there's a greater wisdom for us to walk in. As Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When you need assurance, or when fear grips your mind and heart, there is one book of the Bible that speaks most clearly to the needs of the soul, the Psalms. Now, Derek Prince escorts you through these wonderful words of comfort in his classic book, Through the Psalms with Derek Prince. In it, Derek offers his unique personal insights into all the Psalms and provides a helpful index to the scriptures that speak to your specific needs. In writing this book, Derek prayed that the personal meditations he included would stimulate the reader to go far beyond anything that he was able to put into writing. normally $14.95. Listeners of Derek Prince Legacy Radio can order Through the Psalms with Derek Prince for only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Going Through the Psalms with Derek Prince will set you on a course of refreshing discovery. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. Derek Prince is teaching us today about how to gain wisdom and guidance for every situation of our lives. I need that. You need that. Let's listen as Derek teaches us the Word of God.
In my talk today, I'm going to deal with one particular way in which we often need wisdom and in which God makes it available to us. My subject may be summed up in one word, guidance, or, if you want a longer phrase, how to find the right way in each situation and circumstance of our life. The promises of God cover this need. We'll turn, first of all, to promises that are found in Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. Now, I believe the first verse that I read describes the kind of people who qualify for the promise of the second verse. The promise is, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. But before we look at the promise, let's look at the kind of people that this promise is addressed to. God says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When I was a young believer, I understood that verse in this way, that if I take pleasure in God and do what God wants, then He'll give me the things that I want, the things I want to do or to enjoy. But as I became more mature, I saw that the promise goes much deeper than that. If I delight myself in the Lord, if I really seek to please the Lord and find my satisfaction in Him, then He will give me the desires of my heart in this sense, that by the Holy Spirit He will implant in my heart the desires that He wants to fulfill, and my desires will become godly and God-pleasing rather than self-centered and self-pleasing. Now, let's look at the promise that follows, Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. I want you to see that in this there are three successive phases. The first is an act. Commit your way to the Lord. Committing is a single act that has to be performed just once. Interestingly enough, the original Hebrew says literally, roll your way on the Lord. Why do you think the psalmist says, roll your way on the Lord? Well, I'll tell you, I have my particular answer to that question. It's based on experience. I was the principal of a college in East Africa for training African teachers. And the principal of the college was everybody's servant. He had to do everything. If a tap leaked, he had to mend it. If there was a food shortage, he had to come up with the food. One of the things I often had to do was go down into the local city and collect the food for our students. And one of their favorite items of diet was rice. And so I would collect these big sacks of rice, each of which weighed 112 pounds, and bring them in my little station wagon to the door of the storehouse where the food was kept. Now, one of the things that I found it necessary to impress upon Africans who were being educated was that it's not undignified for an educated person to work with his hands, because they began to get the attitude that once they'd been to school and college, then it was below their dignity to work with their hands. So I used to sometimes set them an example by helping to unload these sacks of rice from the back of the station wagon. And I discovered that if the sack of rice was standing on the back of the station wagon, it wasn't difficult to get it up my back and carry it into the storehouse. But what was difficult was to get it off my back again. because it was easy to injure your back if you made a wrong movement. And that's why I learned about rolling my burden on the Lord, because I discovered that instead of doing it rather slowly, I had to give a little quick jerk and roll that sack off my back in one movement so that it stood up on its end on the floor beside me. And I became quite skillful at doing that. Well, then I saw why the psalmist says, roll your way upon the Lord. Because the choosing of our way through life is like that 112-pound sack. It's too heavy for us to handle by ourselves. It's too big a decision and a responsibility. So the psalmist says, don't try to carry that sack. Just roll it off your back and leave it at the Lord's feet, and He'll take care of it. So that's the first phase, commit your way to the Lord, or roll your way onto the Lord. Then the second phase is an attitude, trust. Commit is an act, trust is a continuing attitude. Once we have committed, we don't go on committing, but we take the attitude that it is committed, and all we have to do now is go on trusting. Commit is the act, trust is the attitude. The third phase is, in the English translation, God will do it. However, as a matter of fact, in the Hebrew, it says literally, God is doing it. So I understand it this way. First, we commit our way to the Lord, then we maintain an attitude of steady, continuing trust. The matter is in God's hands. And as long as we continue trusting, God is doing it. In other words, He's working out whatever we've committed to Him, whatever decision, whatever course we need to take, God is working it out. To me, it's rather like going to a bank and depositing money in a savings account. The depositing of the money is the act of commitment. After that, you don't keep running back to the bank every day and wondering if your money is bearing interest. You just know the bank is adding the interest to your money day by day. That's an attitude of continuing trust. And as long as you leave your money safely deposited in the bank and maintain that attitude of trust, the bank is doing it. And it's the same with God. Commit your way to Him, trust in Him, and He is doing it.
You know, it's funny, the unbelief in our souls. Time and again, the Bible tells us that God will give us wisdom and understanding for the path of our lives, and yet something in me resists believing that it's really true. Is that true of you? Lord, deliver us from our unbelief. Derek's going to wrap all this up when we come back as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Why, out of an endless number of possible souls, were you born into this earth? What is your destiny? Where can you discover what God has planned for you? In a powerful audio CD by Derek Prince, you can find the answer to these most fundamental questions. It's called God Wrote Your Scenario, and with it, you'll find the key that unlocks the mystery of God's wonderful plans for you. It is mystery that holds not just knowledge that God Himself wrote out the scenario for your life even before you were born, but the ability to discover it and live it out to the fullest. Derek Prince, a man who walked in the fullness of God's plan for his life, will help you discover the plans God has for you and how your life can be filled with meaning and purpose. As our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount to Derek Prince Ministries, we'll send you your copy of God Wrote Your Scenario, postage paid. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Call now with your gift of any amount and ask for your copy of Derek's powerful CD, God Wrote Your Scenario. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's Friday, and we're in the final portion of this marvelous teaching on the wisdom and the guidance that God wants to give us, and Derek is about to challenge us with how practical our God is. Let's listen.
Now we look at another promise of direction from the Lord. This is found in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and he will make your paths straight. The alternative translation is, he will direct your paths. Let's take that alternative and legitimate translation. God will direct your paths. He'll make the right way through life for you. That's the promise. It's the one we need in this present situation. Now, what are the conditions? In a way, they're rather similar to those of Psalm 37. The first condition is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Maintain that continuing attitude of trust, and you'll find that with trust, there always goes peace. When you become fretful and anxious, it's a pretty certain indication that you've stopped trusting. The second condition is negative. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't go back to trusting your own judgment and trying to work it out yourself. One of the greatest hindrances to receiving answers to prayer from God is that we pray and then we try to work out how God should answer our prayer. Well, God is not committed to answer our prayer the way we might think. And when we are trying to work it out, we actually are in an attitude of mind and spirit in which it makes it difficult for us to receive the answer that God is working out on our behalf. So don't lean to your own understanding. The third condition here in Proverbs chapter 3 is, in all your ways acknowledge Him. What does that mean? Well, let me explain what I understand by acknowledging God. It means that at any given moment, any given situation, time or place, when you want to acknowledge God, you stop and you say, God, I thank you for your faithfulness to me. I thank you for all the good you've already done me. I thank you for the way you've proved yourself in so many situations and circumstances in my life. You've brought me this far, and I trust you to continue to lead me. That's to acknowledge God in all your ways. I remember in 1964, I resigned a rather secure pastorate that I held in a city in the Pacific Northwest, and I committed myself to become an itinerant minister without any fixed salary or any fixed place of abode, no capital, not even a car of my own, a wife and a child to support, and yet I knew God was thrusting me out into this new ministry. And as I was waiting upon God and seeking Him for some form of security in this new ministry, God gave me this scripture that I've just been quoting. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And I want to testify that I've proved that true in all the years that have intervened. I've proved the truth of this beautiful scripture. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Every time you come to a turning point or a choice of a way in your life, pause and begin to acknowledge God. Thank Him for all He's already done for you, for all His faithfulness, for the way He's answered so many prayers and solved so many problems in the past. And then, having acknowledged Him, just go on trusting Him to be as faithful in the future as He has been in the past. Know that He will direct your path.
I want to read to you something that Derek said that I really hope lives in our hearts. He said, I have discovered in my long walk with the Lord that He is a very practical God. We sometimes talk of people who are so heavenly minded they're of no earthly use. But such people are not truly spiritual. People who are truly led by the Holy Spirit are always very practical people. The wisdom of God is practical. God cares about the details of our lives, and He's trying to give us wisdom, trying to give us guidance so that we can live effectively. Listen, we're going to continue on this theme all next week, so you have to be with us as God continues to teach us by His Word. But that's all the time we have for now. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's classic book, Through the Psalms, for the discounted price of only $9.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And for your gift of any amount, we'll send you Derek's special CD, God Wrote Your Scenario. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.